So take a nice deep breath and just exhale. And make sure you're in a spot where you're going to be undisturbed for the next hour. I know that it's very tempting to multitask. But I can tell you that we're working in a different energetic when we're on these calls. We're coming together with a very strong intention to be the energy of who we really are in this moment. And we're really up to a really extraordinary game, which is conscious business. And we are ready to explore mastering the inner game. This is the Conscious Business Telesummit. I am your host, Adela Rubio, with ConsciousBusinessTelesummit.com. And this is our third call in this series. So, if you're seated, take a moment to stand. Soften your knees, take a nice deep breath, and exhale, and just relax, and release your body. Just allow it to open, and feel the dynamic flow that's within you, constantly in movement, how your body is organized intelligence coming together for a specific purpose, for a specific reason, for a specific function, for a specific task, and how it all comes together beautifully. You are a system upon systems upon systems. And it's all orchestrated beautifully in your being. And this being is sourced from life, whatever you may call it. And feel this connection as you are sourced in every moment. And there is so much to you that you can't help but ripple into being. Knowing that you are an unstoppable force of light and goodness and creativity. And that everything, every moment is an opportunity for you to engage life and express your essence. Feel your super connection. Imagine that you've got antenna everywhere, your super connection to one another. And all of the other people in this tribe of light that is up for transformation, for conscious being, for conscious relationship, for conscious business, for conscious everything. And feel yourself being sourced through all that is. Take a nice deep breath. And exhale, and just know that on this call, there's going to be at least one thing that is for you, one thing that will shift your being into more. There probably will be more, but one thing definitely that will make a difference to you in your world and in your business and allow you to be more brilliantly you. So I know that we will definitely be delivering that on this call because my friend and colleague, Merriam-Webster, is our guest today. And the topic for our exploration is transforming collateral damage of the wounded healer. And Merriam-Webster is an energy psychologist, a motivational speaker, socially conscious entrepreneur, and she's the director of the Energy Coach Institute. She's authored several books, including Everyday Bliss for Busy Women, and she's a thought leader in the field of health, wellness, and human evolution. Merriam created and directs one of the most innovative coach training organizations in the world, the Energy Coach Institute. And energy coaches teach easily learnable, no gizmo techniques that can change natural currents in the body to dissolve fear, anger, shyness, and other blockages. Pairing these with high-performance coaching reveals and activates super success in all areas of people's lives. Merriam also enjoys her private practice coaching women executives in the arts, media, information technology, medical and helping professions, She's an extraordinary collaborator herself, an extraordinary woman, an extraordinary being with a big mission and a big body of work. I am so pleased and honored to have you in the Conscious Business Telesummit, Mariam.
Wow, thank you, Adela. I'm wonderfully glad to be here today.
Yeah, I am
what
excited. Oh, the group is extraordinary. It's like,
yeah.
You know, when you call, you know, when you call into being what it is that's seeking your engagement, there's just no way that you don't hear the call. You know it's for you. And I, even before the call started, I got so many emails from people letting me know that they couldn't wait to hear about this topic. So I know that you've hit on something here, girlfriend.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I wanted to start off, because, you know, not everyone on this call may consider themselves, you know, a healer maybe, but I know that many of us have traveled that path. So can you just start us off with, you know, what's this thing about the wounded healer?
Well, first of all, wounded healer in mythology, and I used to be an English teacher, and one of the books that we used teaching high school English back in the day was Bull Finch's Mythology. If you can cast your mind back that far and remember, maybe some of you have studied Bull Finch's, and it's about the Greek gods. And in Bull Finch's, you find the archetype of the wounded healer. And the wounded healer, in this case, in the Greek god sense, is the centaur, which is a half-man, half-horse. His name is Chiron, and without going into his story too much, you might want to look it up, though, if you consider yourself a wounded healer after this call. But Chiron takes a wound, and it's a wound that's almost fatal, and he carries it with him for life. But it gives him such great sympathy and great compassion and great healing skills come to him because of this, that he feels compelled to share that healing with the world. So this is the type of healer that you may have heard of, indigo children and people who are quote-unquote early indigos. Like, all of our kids are now being born smarter than we were and with a whole lot more skills and talents than we had when we were born. I was born in 1960. So when I came into the world, we hadn't heard of indigos or anything like this yet. But perhaps you, like me, were a weird kid.
Yeah.
And you were that person that was just a little bit apart from other people. When I came in, I was blessed with a grandmother who taught us how to heal with our hands. So to, you know, get energy into our hands and put it over an owie and heal it. And I learned later in life that not everybody's grandmother taught them that. So, you know, when I started telling my little schoolmates about this, they look at me and start edging away. So that's kind of how I started out. And what we mean today by wounded, now there are lots of kinds of wounds, emotional wounds, there are physical wounds. I was hit by a drunk driver 25 years ago and broke my back, and it took many, many years to recover from that. I was paralyzed for a number of those years, and I was told I'd never walk again. So this was a kind of a wound that was physical, impacted me deeply. It caused me to form a lot of conclusions and decisions and beliefs. So you want to look at incidents in your life that have been severely impactful, and they may have been emotional, not physical. Emotional wounding counts. That caused you to form decisions, beliefs, conclusions, okay? Those three things that come out of, well, I'll never do that again. You know, that kind of thing is a decision, and a belief you might have formed from it is, every time I X, blank always happens. That is a limiting belief, okay? Because the incident was so impactful, was so severe, it becomes a black and white, absolutely no gray area type of belief, and those beliefs keep on wounding us time after time after time. May I give an example, Adela?
Yes, please.
One of the things that I've been researching is something that I'm beginning to talk about, and nobody's really talked about this yet. We've heard a lot about, and I call it the first wound. We hear a lot about birth trauma, and we hear a lot about growing up, you suffer trauma from your siblings and from things that your parents do to you, and authority figures, you know, make fun of you or whatever. Those kind of things cause definite conclusions, beliefs, and decisions. But there is a first thing that happens to us right out of the womb that just isn't being looked at. And what I started looking at were cultures which had no psychosocial disorders in them, or very, very few. And what I discovered were there were certain cultures in Africa that bound babies to the breast of an adult, could be the mother or father or another responsible adult, or an older child. For the first 2 years of their life, that baby was never put down except to change it. But they're never out of contact with humans. And in those particular cultures, there is very, very little psychosocial distress. There is very little psychopathic disease, very little depression, et cetera. And I thought that was really interesting. And about the only thing that cultural anthropologists can trace this to is the fact that babies are not put down, and also that babies in this particular culture, one or two of them, are considered reincarnations of elders and so are respected from birth and are consulted on daily affairs. And I thought, well, wow, what a mindset, eh?
What a shift.
Yeah, what a shift that would be. What would happen if we started treating our babies not as these mindless, the tabula rasa that we grew up with when I was going through grad school, learning to be a psychotherapist? We were told babies, blank slate, the tabula rasa, blank slate. You know, there's nothing there yet. We have to put all that's there there. That is such a load of hooey. So your babies are a whole lot more intelligent than we give them credit for. And they're a whole lot more finely tuned an instrument than we give them credit for. And what happens in American society that I am living in, and in most Western societies, is at some point after the birth, maybe right after, maybe a couple of days after, but at some point, that baby is put into an isolated place, usually a crib, and the adult in question walks away. Now, babies have what is called a process that they go through where objects become concrete in their awareness. In other words, where if mom goes out of the room, I know she's in the other room. But that doesn't happen until months down the line. So if mom goes away, then that means mom is gone forever in that baby's mind. And that is a terrible and wrenching wound. And that is the very first one, past birth, that we go through. And it keeps happening again and again and again, because in our society, we don't bind babies to the breast. We don't carry them around consistently. We tend to leave them in cribs, in jump seats, in, you know, in strollers. And the baby, before they realize, okay, mom's just in the other room, they go through a period of traumatization. So this is, in this way, we are all wounded. And we are all seeking that, okay, where's my important person? Where's my important person? Okay, they're over there. Okay, I'm fine. We all have that little kernel inside of us that is seeking the social support group. So if I've been clear so far, Adela, I just want to know if that's...
Oh, absolutely, because it really opens it up, you know, to everyone. You don't have to be a wounded healer to get this. Absolutely.
Exactly, exactly. So, and then there are some of us, of course, that go through these severe traumas later on. We were severely abused. We were, you know, prisoner of war, or, you know, had a horrific accident or something else. You know, that is yet another thing. But we can all of us in conscious business, we all have this first wound. And when the baby gets to the point of realizing that this thing is happening again and again and again. Holy cow. This sets our energy system up, and our energy systems are really, really good at following our attention. And remember, what you give attention, intention, and repetition, AIR, remember that acronym. What you give air lives. So if a tiny baby is giving its air to the horrible feelings of abandonment and knowing that its parents are going to leave again and again many, many times, this sets them up to expect and therefore to attract more wounding experiences that feel the same. Okay, not necessarily more parents leaving, but how does abandonment feel? Adela, can I just pick on you?
Oh,
and say,
please do, because I definitely have this. Yeah.
How does abandonment feel to you? You know, say it's a friend, it's a family member, it's a significant other, and they go away and leave you flat, and you're like, ah!
It's devastating.
So what are those feelings? It's devastating.
It's devastating, and I feel it very much in the body.
And where does that land for you?
Actually, for me, it lands between the heart and the belly.
So right kind of like a punch in the gut, almost.
Yeah.
And everybody on the call, I want you to get that there is a place that lands in your body, and Adela's is very, very, it's a very common place that feelings of abandonment and devastation will land. So it may be there for you, it may be someplace else, but get a feeling of that in your body because we're going to work through this. If with your permission, Adela.
Oh, absolutely. I'm always game for this.
Awesome. Awesome. So when you set yourself up to feel more things like that kick in the gut, we'll just use that as a good example. Thank you, Adela.
Mm-hmm.
So that kick in the gut, what else feels that way? Well, I know just from my own experience, losing a job, okay, getting passed over for a promotion in a lot of my clients' lives, they come in and they've, you know, they're at the top of the corporate ladder and they get passed over, they're about to ascend to corporate VP or president, a co-president, and boom, it ends up being something else. And even at that level, you know, when they've reached what most of us would consider the peak, it's devastating. So none of us is immune, okay? No matter how high we get on the perceived ladder of success, and notice I use the word perceived, because really, it is all your perceptions. No matter how high up we get, we are susceptible to this dropout in the stomach, this feeling like we've been kicked. No matter how well we're doing in our lives, all of a sudden one day, you know, like we have in Haiti, an earthquake comes along, and we've lost everything. And that is a terrible devastation. That's a major wound, all right? So when we are, aside from acts of God like that, it's that same feeling in the gut. It's that same feeling, maybe you get a hunch in your shoulders where all your shoulders just bunch up and your neck goes into knots. You know, maybe it's your hands are clenching. So whatever that feeling is for you, when you have that in your system, in your field, you draw other events like it that will create other experiences for you, because your energy system is it's a faithful friend, and it's almost like the genie in the bottle, where it says, okay, this is what you're paying attention to. This must be what you want more of, so I'll set it up. And it really is a setup. We do get more of the same. Have you ever noticed that? You hook up with, like you hook up with a guy or a girl, and a person ends up being an abuser and really mean to you, and you're like, wow, I'm so glad I'm shut of that person when they go out of your life. And then you hook up with somebody else, and it's the same person in different clothes.
Yeah.
And it happens again and again and again, and then you finally kind of get to a point where, you know, maybe several years down the line, maybe you're not attracting that person anymore. But we want to shortcut that, and let's not attract any more of that right now. So the first wound is that feeling that the world has dropped out from under us, that feeling of abandonment. And so know that any work you do on the feelings that you have like that, in the ethos method that I developed, we put aside the story. Story is important for its own reasons, but it's not important to the healing you need to do, and in fact, it can actively interfere with it. So if you're thinking about your story, oh, he said, she said, and that was such a horrible thing, I want you to put that aside, all right? Put it in a nice, cozy, comfy little box off to the side so it can feel loved, it can feel valued, because it is for its own self, but we don't need it to do the work, okay? And now let's just go ahead and draw a circle on the floor around yourself, wherever you're sitting or standing. Just a little circle on the floor. And we're going to do some time travel with your permission, Adela, if that's okay with everyone on the call. And time travel is important because with the energy magic, the stuff that I teach, it's so possible to change any event that happened in your personal history. It's a very, very easy process, and I encourage everyone to learn this. We're not going to go deeply into that right now, but we're going to do a little bit of it. So now everybody has what we call a timeline of the events in your life as they happened from whenever up to today. And that may go off. Your past might be behind you. It might be off to the left or right. It might be in front of you or slightly skewed. But get an idea of where your past is. So, Adela, can I pick on you again and get you to tell me where your past is?
Yeah. And when you say your past, are you talking about the actual timeline?
Yep, your timeline. So you going back to birth, where does that live for you in space around you?
When I checked in before, it actually went through my back and the line got kind of squiggly in different spots. It wasn't a real line.
That's just fine. And it may not be a line. It may be an ellipse. It may be a curve.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it needs to be. So whatever that is for you is perfect and awesome and amazing. And it may go through you because you're on a line. Obviously, it's going to go out into the future. So the line may go right through the middle of you and out into wherever you see your future as being. So for me, I pretty much see my timeline as being in back of me for the past, going through me and out in front, going through to the future. So I'm going to use that as just a base example, but you go where you need to. Everybody on the call, everybody's listening in, wherever it is for you. So right now, get a sense of that. And we're in this circle here. We're going to take the circle with us because the circle is going to contain all of the important stuff. It's like we're standing in a vast shopping bag. And we're going to go to the store and we're going to pick stuff off the shelf and we're going to put it in the bag with us. So that's our circle's our shopping bag. So now as you are getting comfortable with where your timeline is, I want you to, wherever the past is, turn around and face that, wherever it is. Go ahead and face your past and look back to your birth. And by the way, if you're not highly visual, it doesn't matter because what you're doing now is you're sensing the energy. And as you look back, find a place on the timeline where a significant event happened to you, a significant event that caused you to draw conclusions, make inferences, make decisions, and form limiting beliefs, a significantly wounding event. And those significantly wounding events affect our businesses today, and they prevent consciousness from entering the fullness of our business. And when your consciousness does not inhabit your business fully, then you get the wrong clients, you get delays and confusion, you get no profits or little profits, you get weirdness happening in general. So this could be something surrounding your business, or it could be something completely unrelated, something that happened in kindergarten. Or college, or with your first love, or whatever that is for you. So just take a moment and go and find that thing. Get a sense of the story around it. It may have been a while since you've remembered this. And if it's back far enough, you may not have a real active memory around it. It may just kind of present like a blotch on your timeline or a place of energy that feels kind of doesn't feel quite right. And that's fine. However it manifests is perfect for you. So just take a moment and do that. And then when you've got a firm sense of that, and if I'm going a little too fast, you may wish to go back over the recording. I know Adele is very kindly providing you a re-listen, and those of you who have bought the series, you can, of course, go into this for successive events in your life, as many as there are, and clear them. And get a sense of that story. And when you're ready, in just a moment, not yet, we don't want to do this too fast. When you get a sense of that story around it, or if the story isn't available to you because it's very early in life and you don't remember clearly, then just a sense of the urgency and the rushing maybe, or the general sense of the weirdness. But all the he said, she said, all of that, and go ahead and just drop it right on the floor inside your circle. Just drop it. This is like you fill the shopping bag and you're just dropping it on the floor. Go ahead and drop that on the floor now. And keep dropping it on the floor. And anything that's left, drop that too. And going from the top of your head, just allow a clearing wave of light, of brilliant white light, to enter the top of your head, just like a laser scanner, scanning for anything that's left, and slowly, gently, very relaxedly, very calmly moving that down the body and out through the hands and flicking your hands. You can flick the residue off of your fingers and down the body of the legs, down into the feet and out of the feet and into the floor below you, so that every last little bit of that story is gone. And if you can't remember this story now, so much the better. We don't need to. All we need left are the emotions. It's that feeling kicked in the gut. It's that feeling of surprise and shock. Those horrible feelings that lodged in that moment that caused all those decisions we made that are blocking us today. So bring your attention back to those feelings. We're going to deal with them in just a moment. And realize that this event that happened to you is only one in a string of pivotal events in your life. And that these events have changed you. That they have changed you. So one more time, let's just go ahead and get all of the story up and out of it. See who you were when that damaging moment happened. Hear what you're thinking and what people are saying, if there's anything left. Hearing all the things going on around you. Feeling what your desires and your directions were at that point in your life. If there's any of that left inside at all, gather it up. See who you were associating with and their motives in your life at the time. See your motives in their life. And note anything that was important to you about this event and all of the conclusions, decisions, judgments, and figurings out of things. And just let it drop right into that circle. And one more time, just let it drop right into that circle. And this is a process that comes from the Ethos Method. We're not going to go fully into that right now. But suffice to say, if you are willing to let go of all events that bring these nasty emotions to you, these feelings of abandonment, of betrayal, of being left, of being kicked in the stomach, of having had all your stuff taken away from you. Of feeling alone and scared, frightened, small. If you're willing to have all of that go away, then just say yes with me. We're going to say it a bunch of times. Yes, 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 yes. And take a deep breath in and out. And if you are ready to open to all of the new possibilities that you now can embody and place into your business and all of the consciousness that you have excavated out of all of the corners, because when you unbind the energy in events like this, consciousness floods in into you, into your life, and into your conscious business. And you upgrade your inner game tremendously. So if you're ready for that upgrade, then the way that we open to that is to see a beautiful red rose opening outward and outward and outward, and feeling that rose open inside of us as well. This rose, in fact, is the lower chakra in our body, the one that sits at the base of the spine. And we see that opening outward and outward and outward like a rose, a beautiful rose. And if you have difficulty visualizing, just fake it till you make it. And if you're interested in Ethos Method, I know we're going to give you the website you can go to. We have plenty of videos of blooming roses you can look at to help you. But for right now, just see that rose opening outward and outward and outward. And if you've ever seen one of those time-lapse videos, they have outer petals that open, and it's beautiful and crimson and gloriously, wonderfully lit by the sunlight, and the inner petals now begin to open outward, 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 opening even deeper, and there are still more petals inside, always miraculously opening outward and outward. And as you see that, the energy intake valve for your whole life is opening within you. And that lower chakra is opening fully. And that is the chakra, by the way, that is connected to survival. So very connected to our first wound experience, all of us. There's pure survival emotions there. And opening to that, all changing. And now we have a third thing to do. And that is just completely relax with it. So now that you've said yes to the experience, you've opened your energy to it, now it's receiving, being able to receive. And one of the best ways to be able to receive is to relax. Remember that massage that you've gotten or that hot bath that you've taken where your whole body just went, and let go, just letting go. So like a beautiful hot shower coming down that is just relaxing all of your muscles all at once. Feel this deep relaxation, filling your entire body from the top of your head to the tips of your toes and just washing down, rolling down in warm waves all the way over your entire body, receiving the changes that are already in place within you. Relaxing more and more and more with each breath in and out, and carrying that relaxation to every cell in your body. Carrying the change, carrying the transformation, and carrying the consciousness to every place in your life, every place in your personal life, in your work life, in your business, your relationship. Everything in your entire life is receiving a consciousness update. And now one final thing that we do to seal the deal is the energy that you came from long before you were wounded was perfect. You came out of a place that was pure intention and pure joy. and all of the resources you'll ever need. Some people call that place spirit. Some people call it higher self. Some people call it soul. In ethos, we call it the unlimited self because that's pretty much what it is. You're unlimited. And for most of us, when we experience problems and delays and confusion and upset, that place, we're just stepped out of it a little bit. You can't step fully out of it because that's your life energy, okay? But we step out of it. The more problems you have, the more stepped out you are. So you may only have a pinky toe in it, or you may have half your body in there. But so let's go ahead and fully step in. So again, look around in your environment and get an idea. And remember we left all that stuff in the circle on the floor? This is where we get to step out. That's like raw sewage down there, okay? It's starting to stink a little bit on the floor down there by the ankles. We want to get out of that, right? Can we do that now, Adela?
Yeah.
Let's step out of the sewage, shall we? Okay. So stepping out of that circle, not yet again. Again, wait for it because you want to make sure you know where you're going. So cast around in your environment. And for me personally, my unlimited self is to my right side. Okay, so when I step out, I'm going to step to the right. Adela, is it the same for you or different?
I actually feel myself expanding from the core out, and I expand in all directions.
In all directions. And
yeah.
If you're taking a step out of that circle with the junk in it, which way do you want to go?
If I did, I'd probably go forward.
Okay, excellent. So again, it may be different for you, and whatever it is for the folks that are listening, it's perfect. Okay? You can't screw this up. Can't be done, all right? So whatever direction that is for you, and if it like Adela, you're expanding outwards. That, Adela, is my experience of after I step in, that's
mm-hmm.
what happens, is I expand outwards. But I have to make that little jump to the side, little step out of where I was in order for that to happen. So folks, if that's you too, just pick a direction, make a little step out. So we're going to step out of our, so when you're ready, let's do it. One, two, three, and step aside into unlimited self. And feel the you that is perfect, embodying that you that is perfect in your physical body and in your life. And by the way, if you're not there yet, go ahead and step aside again. And again, if you need to, and again. I have a very long hall in my home, and some days, depending on what's going on, but some days if it's particularly chaotic, I may step down that whole hall. So if you're not feeling it, if you don't feel like I'm like, oh, I don't get it, then keep stepping aside and just leaving the don't get it on the floor. And again, leaving the confusion on the floor. And again, if necessary. So when you're an unlimited self, what happens? The treasure box of the universe is basically open to you. All resources you'll ever need to solve any problem you'll ever have are right there with you now. You've only to open your eyes to see them because they're sitting right there. So this problem that you went in with, this wound that you were dealing with, these feelings of betrayal, abandonment, confusion, horrible pain and loss. What would you rather feel like? Whatever that is right in front of you right now. And Adela, can I pick on you again and get a sense of how you would rather feel?
More freedom. It's something that keeps coming up for me, and it always seems like there's more for me to step into.
That's a wonderful thing, though. More brilliance is awaiting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
right now, that's
freedom?
What came for me. Yeah, more freedom.
And it may not be, by the way, it may not be a feeling. It may be a, I want more opportunities coming down the pike right this second. Thank you so very much. Opportunities too, and fill in that blank for yourself. Or it may be something different, entirely different. Whatever that is, go ahead. And you're in the universal playground where all of the where the Big Bang originated. That's where this energy originated. Okay? This is our, the line from the song, we are stardust, we are golden. This is the stardust area where you can make anything you want. So feel for what that is for you that you would really rather have. I would rather have the ability to and fill in that blank, or I would rather feel like this. Now, that's the gift you're taking away. So every time I get a gift, I think it's so important to give thanks. Be grateful, because this is the air that you want to breathe. The attention, intention, and repetition that you want in your life is the good stuff. We want the good stuff. We want more of that thank you. So the more you want of the good stuff, that's where your attentions need to go. So get up, whatever that is, more freedom for Adela, and whatever that is for you. I think freedom sounds like a great thing. And, oh, by the way, gee whiz, for me, the wounded physical healer, what comes down the pike is I have immense flexibility in my lower spine. Woohoo! Since I had a broken back, and that's where it was broken, okay? My go-to is immense flexibility and comfort in my lower spine. If you have a physical ailment, that may be a similar, there may be a similar gift there for you. So the more you pay attention to that, and the more that you remember this gift over the coming days, weeks, months, et cetera, and just kind of pause a little bit to, you know, hey, you know, universe, thank you so much for that immense flexibility and comfort in my lower spine. Wow, that is so amazing. And the universe goes, oh, you want more of the same? Oh, okay, cool. Well, how about some flexible shoulders, since a little bit of arthritis is starting to set in. I'll take that. Hell yeah. And so whatever that ends up needing to be for you, it's like putting in an advance order for what you need without knowing you need it yet. That's what giving thanks is. So thank the universe, thank your unlimited self, whatever you conceive of as divine. Take a big, big breath now. Big breath in and out. We're going to do this three times. One more time. And out. And again. Now just pause to check in. How do you feel? Adela, can I ask you?
I feel so glorious. This is such a graceful process of yours.
I love that. Graceful.
It is.
Ease, grace, and joy. That was the brief.
It is graceful. It really, it's very easy. It felt very gentle to me. It was just graceful. Graceful is the best word for it. It was very graceful because the energy moved. I actually remembered something that I don't remember the story. I've heard the story, but it's before I actually remember, like have words and that kind of thing.
So you were a baby and the story was told to you?
I was a baby. And when this happened, and I'd heard the story afterwards, but I got the, when we dropped the story, it was amazing. I'd never experienced this sense of, I worked with, I played with annihilation.
Cool.
That was my adventure. And it was so graceful. And the story is terrifying, but.
Now,
so
the annihilation was happening to you, or you were trying to annihilate something else?
Well, this was in Cuba during the revolution, and there was bombing and that kind of stuff. So it
gotcha.
Was that kind of a, yeah. Yeah.
So here's another tool for conscious business owners.
Yeah.
Wake up every morning and destroy your business before you even get out of bed. Now, Adela, let me ask you, what kind of thought does that bring up for you? Just
you know what? It's interesting because I've destroyed my business several times, and I know that you really destroyed your business.
Blasted earth, baby.
You blasted it. To the stratospheres. I would love for you to talk a little bit about that. Say a little bit more about that.
Sure. I just want to kind of finish this process, and then I will totally get into that. So now that we're all kind of in unlimited self and we have accepted our gifts and said thank you, see the all that this is in your life and how it what the work that you've just done has rippled backwards and changed everything in your life. And how, like Adela, if that annihilation had never happened, what would be different in her life? And what would be different in your life if that thing never happened to you? If instead you took the gift of that without needing to keep the nasty. So now that you've let that go, feel yourself moving backwards from all that is and floating easily forward on your timeline, back into your body right here now, in the present, wherever that might be and whenever that might be, and noticing what is different now in your life from what you were like then, be that yesterday or as a small baby. And also with this newfound talents and abilities and skills that you regained as gifts. And by the way, the storehouse comes with you, ladies and gentlemen. You don't need to leave it in the past. It's here with you all the time. You don't even need a key. You just need to step over and be there. And someday you may not want to step over. You may just want to stay there. That, too, is an option that's available to you. And recognizing that you are the process of life. You are capable of generation of anything you desire, and that you're continually transforming and creating your environment, your life, and your surroundings. What you are and what you're getting in your life today is a product of what you gave air to yesterday, and the week before that, and the year before that. So I have one final thought on this. What you are most called to, what you are pulled to and enjoy is divinely inspired, and it supports the gift you are and have to share in the world. In the work I do with energy coaches and therapists and helping professionals, they all have a very powerful message to share with the world. You are leaders in your own community, every single person listening to this, whether you are a leader of the people in your family, or you are the leader of people in your worship organization, or you are the leader of the community where you live, or a larger community internationally or nationally, it doesn't matter. You are a leader in your own life, and because you're here, I know you're a leader in the lives of others. So get the gift that you are and keep excavating that storehouse. And mind you, there is no end to the storehouse. There is no end. You cannot reach the end. Don't even try. I did once, and I spent about a month in a solid coma. You can't reach the end of the storehouse, okay? When I reached the end of that month in the coma, sort of coma, my family was going, "Are you going to get out of bed today?" "No, thank you. I'm good." When I reached the end of that month, though, oh, boy, did I ever have a lot of stuff. Did I ever have a lot of gifts to share? And sharing is what this is all about. If you don't share your light, if you don't share your gift, it will wither and die. So this is the thing. You've got the gifts, but in order to keep them, you've got to share them. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage everybody to get out there and share what changed with you. What changed in your life? You might want to email Adela and tell her, "This is the gift that I got." Just to have, would you be willing to have people mail in and say what they got from this?
Oh, absolutely. And I've got an even better idea, because I have a community called consciousbusinessnetwork.ning.com. And this way, not only can I see it, but everybody else can see it.
And the wider you share your gift, the wider your reach will be. That's a beautiful... Adela, say that URL again, please.
Yeah, consciousbusinessnetwork.ning.com. And I will tell you that it's a community for full engagement, which is what Miriam is talking about. Engagement is really the name of the game. So there are three questions. So you need to answer those three questions. No perfection, just right now. And join the community. I will start a discussion on this call like I have
for another call. And this way we can share what we've actually, you know, experienced and what the gift was that we captured in this session with Marianne. So
beautiful.
I will put that out today.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. I have a couple of quick tools, and then I want to get back to that question you asked. So particularly when we are wounded healers, if we've had a significant life-destroying, oh, my God, experience, we tend to become sensitive. It's like, you know, when you have allergies, you become sensitized to, you know, you have an allergy to grass, and then suddenly it's to cat dander and dog dander, and then it's other kinds of pollen, and, you know, you're a mess. So when we have this kind of experience in our life, it tends to make us allergic in a way that attracts weirdness, and we can attract feelings and symptoms that aren't our own. They're somebody else's. And particularly when you're a conscious individual and you're striving to become more conscious, you will become conscious without knowing it of your neighbor's stuff or the lady down the street or someone in the next city. So when you have a symptom or something coming up in your life that just isn't you, I want you to ask yourself, is this mine or someone else's? You're so susceptible to taking on other people's pain, emotions, and intentions as a conscious being that this is a worthwhile question to ask whenever something odd comes up. Is this mine or someone else's? If it really isn't yours, you ask yourself, is this mine? And you're like, not mine. Then send it back to whoever sent it to you or whoever's it is. They may not have sent it to you, but you just may be picking up like a radio receiver. And send it back with consciousness attached. And then expand your energy out to infinity. Expand your energy out to infinity, and that allows you to expand beyond that weirdness, that symptom, that messed up way of thinking or depression or whatever you're picking up. So expanding your energy out to infinity, you do it just by asking the energy to do so. So please expand my energy out to infinity beyond this problem. Oh, thank you. That feels so much better. And now I want to answer Adela's question. I have one, if we have time, I will go into this one final tool that is so cool to energize your business to attract more clients. So Adela, would you pose your question again, please?
Well, you were talking about just something like destroying your business or blowing up your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've done myself a few times, and I'm about to do in some areas of my business again. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about that from you.
Awesome. So what Adela's talking about and what I'm talking about when I say just wake up every morning and destroy your business is that we have, by virtue of the fact that we have all this crap in our backgrounds that caused us to come to these conclusions and limiting beliefs and rigid ideas of what is and must be so, those conclusions and rigid beliefs and ideas limit the amount of business that we can have, right? Because if we're not having all the clients that we want and all the income and the outreach and we're not getting those big national, international deals that we really want to get, then there is limitation in the business. If you own the business, guess where that limitation is, folks? It's yours. So wake up every morning and destroy your business. Everything that you think your business is, everything you think it should be, everything you think it should produce, my business, by gosh, it should support me and it should support my kids and blah, 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 and all that. And it should look exactly like this and yada, yada, yada. I think we've done a lot on, let's create the business that we want by setting into stone a look and a feel and a this, that, and the other. And that was great information in the 80s and 90s because so many of us were so, I just don't know, you know, who I should serve and what I, you know, and we're so diffused, you know. We had good tools and we did good work, but we had no clue what we were doing. And so once you get the clue of what you're doing and once you have been in the business a while, destroy your business. And even now, if you don't really know what you're doing, then destroy that too. And be completely open to receiving completely new guidance from a completely different source, your unlimited self. Because unlimited self doesn't have preconceived ideas about how it should go, how it ought to have happened, and how
by God, next week it's gonna do this or bust. Unlimited self just cares about the things that you give air to. Okay? So if what your ultimate goal is to be happy, which is a pretty good place to focus, then it will create conditions and circumstances to make you happy. And if making me happy means that I'm living in a certain lifestyle, I don't even have to state what that lifestyle is. I just say, I want to be happy. Please make it so. And that lifestyle has flowed to me effortlessly because that's part of my happy. And my unlimited self knows that. So I have what looks to other people like a somewhat lavish lifestyle. I have a beautiful house with a pool and the car of my dreams and a great relationship and blah, 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 blah. You know, when I want something, I buy it, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't set out with saying I want X many hundred thousand million whatever dollars a year, and I won't settle for anything less. And that is actually more limiting of your business than it is conscious allowing an opening. So that's what I mean by destroying your business every day. Get up and destroy your own preconceived notions about it, about how it has to manifest. The how is unimportant. The end goal, and the simpler it is, like just please make me happy and everybody I reach happy by the work that I do. Well, that is enough.
Yes. Oh, I love that you said that. That when you focus on a goal of money, I just don't find that as powerful as focusing on the message of what you're here to offer and who you're here to be. And the other stuff just starts happening once you're focused, because that who you're here to be is a powerful force.
Absolutely.
And it's going to move through you. It's going to move through you like a tsunami if you allow it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that happens a lot, especially in the beginning with your business, especially if you've got a desire and you want to do something and you see everybody else out there doing it and you're like, oh, well, how am I going to be different? And the way that you become different is by doing it. In doing it is how you differentiate. You find, you explore, you try this, you try that. But until it's one of those funny things, chicken or the egg, you know, it's like a catch-22. You can't get it unless you be it. You can't be it unless you do it. It's just right there. And it's never about money. For me, when I was doing a lot of there are other practices that say, you know, focus on this, you know, give it energy and all that. It just never worked for me. When I focused on the work, on what really made me sing that I would
now,
do no
Adela,
matter what.
Mm-hmm. Adela, when you focused on the work, did you get, in fact, more work to do?
Oh, of course. Because the thing is, yeah, it's like that favorite quote. I say this quote all the time because it reminds me, love brings up everything unlike itself. Like when you decide you want a conscious business, guess what comes up? Everything that's in the way of you having a conscious business. And guess what? That's the playground. That's where you get to play next. And then once you get that, then there'll be other fun adventures for you, guaranteed.
And when that comes up, you can step aside into unlimited self and look back at all that busy work.
Yeah.
And what unlimited self does, it has some very interesting characteristics. It tends to be faintly amused at what we think is important. You go, oh, my God, I have to, you know, and then the list rolls out. Unlimited self looks at that and goes, oh, that's interesting. Why don't you go to the park?
Yeah.
And you go, okay, I'm going to trust this, even though I got this list of 92,000 things I need to do before or it's going to blow up, I'm going to go to the park. And you go to the park, and you sit down next to a little old lady, and you start this lovely conversation with the little old lady who turns out to have a massive multiplex that needs another speaker. And you just happen to be in her path and at the right time, at the right place. And that is how this sort of things happen.
That's how it works.
That literally happened to me. I went to the park, urged by my unlimited self. I met a lady who owns a massive sportsplex that was putting on a series featuring spiritual speakers. They had somebody cancel at the last moment, and she didn't know what she was going to do, and she didn't have the right help in place. And I said, oh, well, I've got helpers, and I funneled her to my assistants, the organization. And she said, well, do you know any speakers that can speak to this topic? And I'm like, well, heck, that's my topic. I can speak to this topic. And she looks at me suspiciously and says, do you have a website? And I brought it up on my phone for her to show her. And she was like, which, you know, again, was fortuitous. Just happened to have my my cell phone there so I could bring up the website and show her. And it was just like bada bing, bada boom. And I never would have gone to the park that day. Never would have done it. Had 92,000 things hysterically important. And this was several years ago. And that's just what got me to start listening. Stuff like that just kept happening. So when that happens to you guys, keep listening. And Adela, I don't know if we have time for the client attraction tip I was going to give or not. I want to be sensitive to time.
Actually, if you would love to give us that, I'd love for you to share it. And folks, I know that many people ask specific questions, and so what I'm going to ask you to do is listen to the replay and use the process again, because some of the questions that we've received are perfect for the process that that Miriam shared with us. It's just there's so much content and information, and we've only got a certain amount of time, but I would love it if you could share that client attraction tip tool.
Beautiful.
And then tell us about your, I want to also hear about your EFT marketing school after that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, actually, if there are any EFT folks on the line, Gary Craig, who invented emotional freedom techniques, is retiring. And he's given us a little bit of a reprieve on taking his whole website down. So all of his website, with all the marketing and client attraction goodies that Gary has done, is going to be going away. So go and copy that, and then I have a resource for you that's going to teach you how to market your practice after this. But to go into this tip really quickly, this is a combination of different strategies that started out with my mentor, Dieter Larm, and ended up with a guy named Gary Douglas in Access Consciousness. But it basically involves your ideal client. If you don't know who that is yet, then you need to do a bit of groundwork to find out who that ideal client is and describe them in detail, down to the shoes they wear, the magazines they buy, where they go and shop, and who they hang out with, and all that kind of stuff. And once you have that and have their need that you solve, right, because they're going to have a unique problem that you're going to solve. When you know that, then from all of those people all over the world that need what you've got, you're going to draw energy in through the back of your heart chakra. So your heart center, right, has a front, has a back. Draw that energy in, and the way you do it is simply to ask the energy to come into the back of your heart from everybody that you're uniquely meant to serve. And you're going to flow that energy out the front of your heart and into your business. Now, just to make it easy, you're going to want to use kind of an icon, like maybe your business card, or maybe it's your website, or maybe it's your book, or whatever program you're trying to attract people to at that point in time, whatever that is for you, okay? So get an idea of what that is. You know, flow this energy from all of your ideal clients out your heart, out the front of your heart, and into your business. You're going to fill your business up completely until it's overflowing. And when it's overflowing, by the way, this energy is universal. You're not sucking these people dry. You're just pulling energy through their bodies from the universe. Okay, so this is very ethical. It's very clean. Don't worry about it. Put that energy into your business. And what you're doing is you're hanging the red blinking barbershop pole. You know, when you go down the street of Main Street America, what would draw your eye is that red and white barbershop pole going around, right? That drew your eye to the business. So if you needed a haircut, you knew where to go. This is what you're doing for your business, is you're just kind of putting the blinking light up and saying, I'm here, guys. I know you've been looking for me, so here I am. But you don't want to draw that energy into you. You want to put that into your business so people aren't calling you at 3 in the morning, et cetera. So put that into your business. When it's overflowing, then allow a tiny trickle of it to go out into the world and back to all of those people, again, who are your ideal clients. It's a little tickle like that. You know, they put in the cartoons, they put the pie on the windowsill, and mm-hmm. the aroma goes out, and it tickles the nose of Wile E. Coyote or somebody that comes
yeah.
and picks up the pie. So that's the idea. You're sending out a little trickle, a little tickle of the nose, and say, here I am, here I am. And then when those people come back into your business and they buy your product or they sign up for your newsletter or whatever it is, then just ask the energy when those people come in, then equalize the energy flow. And then you're no longer drawing from them anymore. So the energy flow is completely equalized. That will get you more energy than you can shake a stick at. That will get you more business than you can shake a stick at. That will get your anything that you're doing completely revved up and going. That and also definitely saying thank you.
Yeah. Thank you is like a completion, like so it is done. It's like you're not only are you thanking, but it's also an acceptance energetically. And that technique for what I would call magnetizing clients is so powerful. Energetically, things before they're physical, they're energetic. So I love that technique that you shared. I'm gonna play with that one myself.
Right, and it's the reason you don't want to draw the energy into yourself. People that are like maybe they're speakers and they go, oh well, the product is myself. Is you'll get burnt out from dealing with people.
Yeah.
Because they will be on you like crazy. You want them to hit your autoresponder, not you. So imagine how many 100,000 people you can have on your email list. You can't deal physically with that many people. So you want to set up systems that can deal with them and then flow the energy into those systems. In fact, flowing energy into an autoresponder and having it trickle out from there, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Miriam, I know we're over, but can you just tell us a little bit about this EFT Marketing School?
Yes. Well, so I was one of the eight marketing consultants that Gary Craig consulted to build EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques, as a business. And my colleagues all said, you have got to come out of mothballs and start teaching this because he's retiring. He's taking his website with him. We won't have his marketing expertise. We won't have the online directory. And besides, marketing has changed so much even in the last few years. Won't you please teach this again? So I am teaching my how to market, and it's called EFT Marketing School, but you don't have to be an EFT practitioner. It's marketing any change business. If you are a social change, world change, if you work with clients to help change them and help them, we are going to help you market your business uniquely well. I'm doing a series of free intro calls, and I will, just like I did today, provide a lot of content. So you get real stuff to go home and chew on, and then there is a 90-day program following that if you're interested in jumping on the bandwagon for that and really revving your business up and getting those people through the door using all of my tips and tricks. You can go to, I believe you have a URL for us.
Yeah, consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/, and I just used ethos because that's the thing I identify with you. consciousbusinesstelesummit.com/ethos, and what I'll do is I'll send it via email also so folks can go check it out.
ETHOS, by the way.
ETHOS, yes, thank
you. Awesome. Thank you so much, Adela.
Thank you, Miriam. This was really a wonderful, wonderful call. There was just so much an enormous amount of time spent on the process, so I urge everyone on the call to go back and work it again. Thank you so much, Miriam, for being here, for sharing all those extra tools and tips, especially for those of us that are looking to build conscious business. And it's been a pleasure having you here, and thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm just going to unmute everyone so we can say goodbye. I know there are lots of diehards that stayed on the line. So thank you, everyone.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Anya.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.